Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
WWL First News. Good morning at 7 o'clock. I'm Ian Ozan on your official weather station, WWL. Partly cloudy, lots of sunshine across the metro. Holding at 75 on the South Shore, 72 on the North Shore.
Happy Tuesday. We've got temperatures getting up to 90 today. That's the coolest high we've had in a long time. There is a little rain in the forecast, that chance at 40% this afternoon. Tomorrow, probably a little less rain and a little hotter.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone has a full look at the forecast coming up in just a little bit. Today, we expect an announcement from state leaders that SpaceX will be setting up shop in Vermilion Parish. WWL's Chris Miller reports.
SpaceX boss Elon Musk's personal jet has been spotted at airports in the region, and last spring, state lawmakers approved a package of incentives designed at bringing private spaceflight companies to Louisiana. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust CEO Guy Williams told WWL's Newell Norman that landing a SpaceX facility is huge.
This really has the potential to be a big economic driver for South Louisiana and a big job creator as well.
There are 130,000 acres of land on the Louisiana coast set to host the development that could bring in thousands of jobs in the aerospace field.
The announcement set for 11 o'clock this morning in Abbeville. LSU celebration of Skip Bertman's life will take place tonight at 7 o'clock at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. Doors open at 6 o'clock. General admission seating around the upper bowl available. The event honors the Louisiana legend who died at the age of 88 earlier this month. That, by the way, is open to the public. Ceremony will be broadcast on ESPN Plus and the SEC Network if you can't make it. Doug Thompson, one of Bertman's national champion pitchers, says LSU fans are known for showing up for their teams, and he hopes the PMAC is bursting at the seams tonight with Tiger fans honoring Bertman.
It's an unbelievable opportunity for our community, for our school, to show the rest of the world how we do it here and how it's why we're so unique.
Governor Jeff Landry ordered flags around the state to be flown at half staff in Bertman's honor. WWL News Time is 7:02.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The latest battleground in the burgeoning trade war between Canada and the United States, one of the Great Lakes. President Trump just posting that he's considering renaming Lake Ontario Lake America. Because, in his words, we don't expect to be doing much business with Ontario any longer. Canada Today expected to lay out its response to Trump's new tariffs. Wildfires now ripping across several states. Progress on the Hawk Fire around Reno, now 27% contained. ABC's Melissa Adon is there.
There are so many people who have been impacted from this fire and have just been pushed out throughout Reno and displaced from their homes. This is a fire that broke out over the weekend, already burning more than 15,000 acres. It's injured three people, three firefighters, and firefighters really have a lot of work ahead of them.
Texas, west of Dallas, the Ross Fire now growing to about 50,000 acres. This is ABC News.
Tarjay is apologizing and removing a children's Halloween costume after it was widely criticized as racist. ABC's Sophie Flay reports.
The images of the costume are being compared to racist caricatures, evoking blackface. Target now acknowledges the costume should have never been for sale, saying, "As a company, we got this wrong, and we are deeply sorry. We know this is especially hurtful for our black guests, team members, and partners. Removing the costume is an important first step, and we are looking closely at how this happened."
WWL News Time 7:04, time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. The New Orleans Saints hope to find their feet as they face the Dallas Cowboys in the preseason finale on Friday. WWL Steve Geller reports.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. The Saints stumbled against the Rams, letting self-inflicted wounds turn what should have been a preseason tune-up into a cautionary tale. Undrafted rookie running back C.J. Donaldson didn't mince words about the sloppy execution.
"We can't shoot ourselves in the foot. That's something we always talk about, starting fast and playing clean football. We don't want to lose the game on our own half, meaning like penalties, turnovers, and things of that nature. We don't want to put the game in jeopardy. We want to try our best to play clean football."
If Hudettes are going to be celebrating come the regular season, the Saints are going to need to cut down on those penalties and turnovers. They'll wrap up exhibition play Friday at the Dallas Cowboys.
From the pros to the amateurs, the LSU football Tigers are adding two former NFL players to the roster. Here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Raz's Markets. Shop Raz's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. LSU has made a pair of big additions this week to reunite head coach Lane Kiffin with multiple former Ole Miss Rebel players turned pro in tight end Daquan Wright and defensive tackle Xavier Harris. Coach Kiffin discussed the unique situation that led to the Tigers landing a pair of UDFAs from the 2026 NFL Draft.
We have made a decision to recruit some kids around the country. Through these multiple injunctions, a group of players were granted a fifth year of eligibility, and through them winning their injunction and entry into the portal, they're available to recruit. And so ourselves, like many places around the country, are recruiting them. At the end of the day, because of these rulings, they're either going to play for you or they're going to play somewhere else around the country.
Stay tuned to updates on the latest chapter in the Wild West era of college football right here on WWL.
Let's count things down. We're 2 days to the prep football jamborees, 4 days to college football kickoff, and 9 days to prep football week one. In 11 days, LSU begins its regular season against Clemson. In 15 days, the NFL kicks off its regular season, and in 19 days, the New Orleans Saints will begin their regular season at the Detroit Lions. WWL News Time is 7:06.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Some of you were rocking and rolling yesterday with high winds from those thunderstorms. Today's severe weather threat is much less likely. There's only a 40% chance of rain. The high is only 90 degrees. Looking at your Wednesday, 94 with a 30% chance for rain. Thursday and Friday, a 50 to 60% chance. And we'll carry a chance for scattered storms this weekend with highs in the low 90s. I leave it on a good note. There are no tropical threats as we round out the month of August. That is a win. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Peyton Malone.
Thank you, Peyton. Right now at the airport in Kenner and in New Orleans, we're holding at 75 degrees, holding at 72 in Slidell. WWL News Time, 7:07. Let's fly into traffic. Courtney, is traffic flying?
Oh, starting to tie up out there. From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report in either direction. I-10 East, Kenner 2, downtown New Orleans. The brake lights start in the airport area, slow to Veterans, clearing to downtown from there. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown. At Bullard, you'll see the brake lights. Light congestion continues to the Morrison Curve. Gets a little heavy there. Things continue to slow down until the 610 split. Over on the downtown, the elevated light congestion begins at St. Bernard over to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Light to moderate congestion begins at Terry Parkway. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Health System. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
So I'm looking at the picture of this Target costume. Kids glows under blacklight circus clown. They got a young black child modeling the outfit in an interesting pose with a... I don't know. Who could allow this to happen? Who would sign off on this? You know,
somebody who doesn't have a job this morning. That's
apparently
who.
Not. Yeah, you would think that somewhere along the line it would have clicked in with somebody or somebody in the room that, guys, are we serious here or not? And something like this, when something like this happens, I wonder if it's not started as some kind of ill-fated or ill-timed joke that somehow gets thought of as a serious gesture or something. I don't know. You can find it online if you want to look at it. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mark Conrad, professor of law and ethics and director of the Sports Business Initiative at Fordham University's Gabelli School of Business about LSU adding a player who's been on two NFL rosters. It's crazy. We'll talk about it when we come back on WWL.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
7-Eleven, Tommy Tucker, WWL, a hot Tuesday, August 25th, but you pretty well know that, right? Highs between 90 and 95, 40% chance for showers right now already. Closing in on 80 degrees with plenty of humidity for everybody. And we're joined by Mark Conrad, a professor of law and ethics, director of the Sports Business Initiative at Fordham University's Gabelli School of Business. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about this Daquan Wright thing. This is this is just nuts, seems like.
Well, it depends who you ask, but yeah, it's just a crazy situation, isn't it?
Tell me, for people that don't understand, they have an idea maybe, but what's going on here? You got a guy that played for, or did he play for an NFL team?
Well, I think he went to a training camp. So the question is how you define that. But certainly he had some professional contact. And one time, if that would be the case, you lost your eligibility to play for an NCAA team. But the NCAA wanted to change the rule, and for some students, allow them to play for 5 years. But they specifically said, except if you graduate. If you graduate after 4 years, that's it. But some of these students are saying, no, we want to play the fifth year anyway, even if we did that and had some professional experience, and now it's in the courts. And the courts have been inconsistent. In some cases, they have at least temporarily allowed them to play, and in other cases, they have not allowed them to play. So it's really just a really uncertain, crazy situation that will have to be resolved in one form or another.
You know what surprised me to hear you say it, and I'm just being honest here, is when you said students, because you kind of cease to think of them as students and you just think of them as professional football players, whether it's at the college level or the NFL.
Well, that's the thing. You know, now it's gotten really professionalized in the wake of all the court rulings, all the litigation, and the NCAA model has been so dramatically altered that we really don't know where we're going to end up when all this is said and done. And so that's why it's just confusing for everybody, you know, for the players, for the fans, for the schools, you know, until we come up with some kind of resolution of that. You know, do we simply allow someone who played professional sports to go back to the NCAA years later? Or do we finally say, hey, look, you had your chance. You know, you even played a day or went to training camp with a professional team. That should really be it. And it'll have to be either resolved in the courts or resolved in legislation.
So I'm looking at an ESPN story here. It says Wright could easily make more money in one season at LSU than he would on an NFL practice squad. And I think a lot of people have a question of how in the world did we get here? You want to go into that?
Well, you know, we went. We got here through a lot of, as they say, Sturm und Drang, a lot of craziness, because ultimately the NCAA, you know, kept its amateur system way too long. The courts realized and concluded that the system as it was, with all its restrictions, was basically an illegal, anti-competitive operation. So since then, the question is really going to be, where do we go from here? And students have been allowed to get name, image, and likeness money. And that's really the key. So, you know, instead of being a small cog in a professional team, they could play college and maybe want to play college, you know, for a fifth year because they have more economic opportunities to play in the college space than in the professional space.
So what does this mean for other players? Is this strictly about the 5-for-5 thing, or could this have be a precedent for other players to return to college?
Well, at this point, it's for the 5-to-5 rule, the fifth year rule. But the question really becomes, and there was a case last year on that, whether somebody who did play some professional sports but may not have fulfilled all the college time could simply say, hey, look, I want to come back and play college precisely because there's greater opportunity. You know, but it's not been resolved at this point because a lot of these cases remain in the courts. They're preliminary remedies at this point. They have to play out, and or Congress may have to deal with this issue and pass legislation.
Where does the legislative aspect of this stand?
Uncertain at this point. Congress, as many of us know, they're in recess now. The so-called SCORE Act that would have created some kind of middle ground, I think many people would say, in this whole thing is still in play. But with an election coming up, and also with the fact that it needs 60 votes in the Senate, I don't know how likely this legislation will pass. One of the things it would do is to grant an antitrust exemption to the college system and the NCAA, which is really what they wanted and lobbied for. But we do a lot of other things, too, give, you know, athletes some kind of economic rights as well. But we really don't know how things are going to go. And I think to get 60 votes in the Senate, you know, is a tough row to hoe.
Does anybody get caught in a crossfire here where they get hurt with this ruling? Some players that we're not looking at on the outside?
Well, I think the players are claiming that some of them who graduated after 4 years could not play the fifth year, and they say that's really kind of unfair. I think if they graduated before a certain date, they're not part of this, you know, five-year rule, and they feel that that is unfair against them. So they're the ones that are bringing the action and suing.
So Wright is declared eligible because of a TRO, the T standing for temporary.
Right.
I don't know if this gets overturned. Where does the NCAA fit in with? Does LSU then say? Does the NCAA, can they say that LSU played with an ineligible player, or is he eligible as long as the TRO is in place? If they strike down the TRO, does that make him ineligible? Take me through this.
That would be the question. If they strike down the temporary restraining order, and basically then they would not be able to, there's a group of players and they would not be eligible. But the courts have to act really fast, because you look at the calendar and guess what? You know, we're getting to the end of August. Mm-hmm. So I suspect that they will have to act very quickly, or then by definition, let these players play.
I guess the question maybe I'm asking from a different perspective is LSU taken on any risk of being somehow having games forfeited because they have this player, Daquan Wright, who is ruled eligible now but later may be ruled ineligible? Or would that just be, well, we were just doing what the court said at the time was legal?
Boy, if that they try that, and I suspect,
because
of that, LSU would be suing in court.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think they would take that sitting down.
So you're saying if the NCAA tried that?
Yes.
Okay, let me take a break.
Correct.
We'll pick it up when we come back, talking to Mark Conrad, professor of law and ethics, director of the Sports Business Initiative, Fordham University's Gabelli School of Business, talking about Daquan Wright and LSU and the Browns and the Eagles and passing waivers and coming back to play college football. Y'all got any questions or comments, text them in to 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. We come back. 720 Traffic Now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. I-10 East, Kenner 2, downtown New Orleans, heavy delay starts just beyond 310, lingers to about Veterans where light congestion takes over. You'll see the brake lights again at the split, have an accident on the ramp to the Pontchartrain Expressway headed into downtown. I-10 West, New Orleans, east to downtown, the slowdown begins at Bullard, heavy from the Morrison Curve to the high rise. Light congestion doesn't ease until Louisa. Downtown elevated slow but steady from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown, heavy between Stumpf and the river. Light congestion continues into the city. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by USPS. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
724, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mark Conrad, professor of law and ethics, director of the Sports Business Initiative at Fordham University's Gabelli School of Business. LSU could be adding a player who's been on two NFL rosters, but there are some potential legal hurdles. We're trying to sort all of that out here. Professor, somebody texted in and said the genie is obviously out of the bottle, but what other mischief could he be up to?
Well, it depends how you define mischief, but I would totally agree that the genie is out of the bottle now. It's been out of the bottle for several years. And, you know, it's a combination of things, because it's a combination of what was clearly a very restrictive environment in the past, a situation which has not been really resolved because of the legal uncertainties, and three, a situation because there's really big money involved, and big money now that the labor force, the students, can make as well. Because before all this, you know, everybody made money on these big-time programs except the students. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, they got a scholarship, but they didn't. So right now, you know, they want a piece of the pie too. You know, where the genie's going to end is really anybody's guess at this point.
Is this primarily a football thing, or is this, somebody texted in, going to extend out to other sports, or are the other sports really a consideration here?
Well, it depends on the school, depends on the program, because some other sports are big-time sports as well. You know, you think about basketball, and also even think about certain niche sports that some schools dominate, whether it's gymnastics or track and field, but I don't really see the kind of money involved as you do really in football and men's basketball. This is where you're really seeing the issues a little bit more than in other sports, especially with the litigation. I mean, there is also a third issue, and that would be Title IX, because if indeed if female athletes feel that there is a discrimination in compensation and things of that nature, in the nature of these programs, then there have been lawsuits in that area as well.
So I don't know how, if you're looking at it from a profit motive, how there could be discrimination, because ladies' gymnastics, for the most part, doesn't bring in as much as men's football, right?
True, except what I think the claim has been, if you talk about, say, women's basketball, mm-hmm. is that there was a settlement in a case where there would be some kind of compensation for athletes, and schools could decide that. And if the bulk of the compensation does go to male athletes, it potentially could be a Title IX issue. That's not been resolved, though, at this time.
So is this primarily because of the NCAA? Because people are texting in saying it's players' greed, but greed, there's a lot of greed to go around, right?
Oh, I would agree. I mean, Lee, look at the schools. You look at the coaches. Look at the salaries of the coaches. You look at the salaries of the assistant coaches now. You know, it's not just the students, because, you know, if these were, you know, programs in certain sports that did not generate revenue, we would not be having this debate right now. But if you look at the television contracts, you know, especially in the SEC, you know, you're seeing really tremendous amounts of money being paid, you know, to the schools too. And that's been a gradual thing over 30 years. So you know, the money is really borne by everybody in this whole thing. So it's not just the students. You know, they want a piece of the action, whether you feel they should get that piece of the action and should get more liberalized rules, you know, is a matter of opinion. But the fact of the matter is, no one can really deny that there's been tremendous monies coming in big-time college sports, and that's been the case for a generation.
So what we're talking about is contractual arrangements here, right, with the NCAA and universities and regulation. Where do the conferences fit in all of this contractually wise, and who's regulating who, if anybody's regulating anybody?
Well, the conferences can have a role to play because they can make certain rules too. And I suspect with a weakened NCAA, you will see the power conferences having an even bigger role, especially in football, because football is the one sport the NCAA does not control on the quote-unquote playoff level. They ceded that in a legal case many years ago. So that's where you really see the conference power.
So after these cases are adjudicated with these 10 players, I think it is, the focus changes to what then, Professor?
Wow. There could be other cases in different parts of the country, which they are. It could then focus back to Congress to pass legislation to either re-regulate, reform, depending on your point of view on this whole thing. And to some extent, it depends on the market. You know, will the market continue to bring in these kind of monies or pay these kind of monies to the colleges, to the conferences, you know, to broadcast these events? And will people pay ticket prices, which they certainly will, to go to some of these events? So really the source of it is the money, and the money has been
flowing in greater amounts now than it has in the past.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time as always. Mark Conrad, a professor of law and ethics, director of the Sports Business Initiative at Fordham University's Gabelli School of Business. We'll take a break, come back, talk about gas prices with Patrick DeHaan, Chief of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy. And meanwhile, our Taking It to the Text survey is still going on at 504-260-1870. What were the good old days for you? What part of your life, or was it a decade that you can go back to, or a period of your life? What made it the good old days for you? I'll share some of those texts when we come back. 504-260-1870. Right now, time for WWL First News.
WWL First News, good morning at 7:31. I'm Ian Ozan on your official weather station, WWL. 77 degrees on the South Shore, holding at 72 on the North Shore.
Happy Tuesday. We're not expecting as stormy weather today, but there's still a chance for some rain. That sits at 40% this afternoon. The high is 90 degrees.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone has a full look at the forecast coming up in just a little bit. Louisiana and SpaceX officials today will announce that the rocket launching company recently taken public by billionaire Elon Musk is coming to the Pelican State. It's been kind of an open secret after the state legislature approved incentives for private spaceflight companies, and Musk's jet has been spotted at South Louisiana airports. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust CEO Guy Williams says it's a huge leap for the state's aerospace sector.
We have the Mishu Assembly Center, which has been gaining business. We have aeronautics and aerospace programs at Nunez. So we've started training workers for this. So we're getting ahead of it.
The project could mean thousands of new jobs. That announcement set for 11 o'clock this morning in Abbeville. A celebration of life ceremony for legendary LSU baseball coach and athletic director Skip Burtman will be held in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center tonight. WWL's Case Kieschnick has more.
The program begins at 7 p.m. with the doors opening to the public at 6. Public seating around the upper bowl is general admission. Former LSU national champion pitcher under Burtman, Doug Thompson, says he wants to see fans lined up on the PMAC ramps.
What makes LSU special, especially when you talk about LSU athletics, is what we do here is we show up.
He says this is a special opportunity to celebrate a Louisiana sports icon.
I can't imagine to tell you how much pride I'll have if that place is busting at the seams. It'll be tough for me to sit there with dry eyes.
The ceremony will be broadcast on ESPN Plus and SEC Network.
WWL News Time is 7:32.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A longtime friendly neighbor now wants to put up a fence. Canada to announce retaliation today for President Trump's 50% tariff threat on cars, car parts, and steel. Trump telling Canadian leaders to fall in line or face consequences far worse than the existing tariffs. Five states with critical Senate races count Canada as a major trading partner. Four are on the border. 15 minutes outside Reno, the Hawk Fire is less than one-third contained. Tens of thousands of people in shelters are praying their homes are okay. The wife of an Army sergeant is the latest military spouse to be deported, sent to Honduras after 10 years here. Denitza James is president of the group Repatriate Our Patriots.
Our service members are having to fight two battles, one on the forefront, really, because we are a country of war, and at home front, making sure that their families are being taken care of.
DHS says having family in the military is not a free pass to violate our nation's laws. This is ABC News.
WWL News Time is 7:34. A Guinness World Record holder beats her own record, as ABC's Danny New reports.
Look out, 66-year-old Judy Oyama is once again skating into history.
I actually feel like I'm skating more.
This legendary speedster is being celebrated as the world's oldest female competitive skateboarder after extending a record she already held by two more years.
I remember seeing it at the library, and I'm very stoked.
This California native has been paving the way on the pavement for more than half a century. After one day when she was 13, her brother made a skateboard in woodshop class and brought it home.
WWL News Time 7:34, time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. The New Orleans Saints are getting ready for their last preseason game. WWL Steve Geller reports.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. Following a tough outing against the Rams, Saints running back Kendra Miller isn't sugarcoating their preseason performance. He knows film don't lie, and right now it's speaking volumes.
We got to put our best on display week in and week out. We got to go out there and put better tape out.
out there. So we got one more opportunity in Dallas, so we just got to clean it up.
Less mess, more success. With the preseason finale against the Cowboys coming Friday, Miller and the rest of the Saints have one last shot to scrub the errors before games actually start to matter.
LSU is picking up two pro players who are returning to college to play their newly granted fifth-year of eligibility. WWL's Charlie Long has more.
This LSU update is brought to you by Raz's Markets. Shop Raz's, your number one local low-price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. According to multiple reports, LSU signed tight end Daquan Wright and defensive tackle Xavien Harris, two former Ole Miss Rebels who began their professional careers as UDFAs in the 2026 NFL Draft before getting an injunction to play another season of college football. Harris specifically was with the Saints before getting waived earlier this month. Saints head coach Kellen Moore said while Harris never saw the practice field with New Orleans, his return to college football is a strange sign for the sport.
I just think it's unfortunate. There's no regulation to anything right now. Obviously, my brother coaches college football, so I get to follow closely from a fan perspective. It's a balancing act. Obviously, you want as many opportunities for all these guys at the same time. There's kids that just work their tail off all offseason. They have to make decisions on their roster now because of added players, and so hopefully there can be some leadership and some regulations developed here.
Coach Moore added that a return to college was not discussed when the Saints waived Harris a few weeks ago.
WWL News Time is 7:36.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Tuesday. We are in the throes of anniversaries for, well, terrible hurricanes that have hit our region. Luckily, we'll start with some good news. There are no tropical threats as we head through the remainder of August. We do have some rain in the forecast, though. There's a 40% chance today, 30% tomorrow, 50% on Thursday and Friday, and back down to about a 40% Saturday and Sunday. Highs most days will be in the low 90s. Nothing really unusual about that. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Peyton Malone.
Thank you, Peyton. Right now, 73 degrees on the North Shore, 77 on the South Shore. WWL News Time is 7:37. And it's time for WWL Traffic. And like our computer, traffic moving slowly. Courtney, what's the latest?
So slow out there as well. From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Sensor, I'm Courtney P. Over on I-10 East, Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans, starting in the airport area, slow congestion hangs on to about Clearview. Light congestion continues to the split where you'll see the heavy brake light action. Again, do have an accident on the ramp to the Puncher Train Expressway heading into downtown. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, a slowdown begins just beyond Reed. Slow through the Morrison Curve, light congestion eases at the high rise. Downtown elevated crawling from Elysian Fields to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown, heavy between Stumpf and the river. Light congestion continues into the city. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AM FM and .com.
Got a couple interesting texts here about the good old days. Somebody texted in and said, my good old days were before Katrina. Everything seemed better. And somebody else said, everybody's good old days are when they buy into the fairy tale. I guess what they mean by that is, boy, it's a lot easier. I know when I was in my 20s, when I didn't do my own thinking, it was a lot easier when I just got in a line, let somebody else do my own thinking for me and bought into the fairy tale of politicians are trying to do their best if they're on your side, if it's the R or the D, you know what I mean? And that the athletes were there purely for the competition. It wasn't for the money. Money wasn't an influencer when it comes to this or that or the other thing. Somebody else texted and said, my good old days were before social influencers took over. What the hell is an influencer anyway?
That's a good question. We're all trying to figure that out.
So maybe the good old days were before social media? I don't know. Text me at 504-260-1870. Let me know. We'll talk about gas prices when we come back. Patrick DeHaan, Chief of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy, joins us here on WWL. We'll talk about hormone replacement therapy and KronosBHW.com. They can change the way you age. They help me change the way I age. And look, there's no way to beat Father Time, right? We hear about it in the athletic world all the time. We hear about it in the business world all the time, where people sometimes just are not at the level that they once were. And guys, it can happen to us because after your 30th birthday, you start to lose free testosterone in your body. Now, this is a kind of delicate subject because too much free testosterone can cause a host of problems. Too little can cause a lot of problems. That's why you have to take a very medically sound approach. And that's what Dr. Mae Scott does over at Kronos BHW. They are on North Arnold, pretty close to Drago's restaurant. Beautiful workout facility, very non-judgmental atmosphere. You can see a lot of guys look just like you there. And what they help me with is weight loss drugs, also with the hormone replacement therapy. It all started with a simple blood test, and low T can result in fatigue, weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and decreased cognitive function. In other words, you're not the real you. Well, why don't you change the way you age, get back to being the real you with hormone replacement therapy if needed, and that's what the blood test shows. From Kronos BHW. Do yourself a favor. Go to Kronos BHW. See how Dr. Mae Scott and his team make it easy, comfortable, and totally judgment-free, whether you're struggling with low T or you want to explore medical weight loss. Kronos can help you as they've helped me. It's not about living longer. It's about living better. And it all starts with a trip to KronosBHW.com. The younger you's still there, guys. Let Dr. Scott and his team help you find him with men's hormone replacement therapy. I do it, and it's changed my life for the better. Go to KronosBHW.com. That's KronosBHW.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about gas prices with Patrick DeHaan, Chief of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Is there any doubt that the price of gas is up since the start of the war with Iran?
Oh, without a doubt. New Orleans today, for example, still 93 cents a gallon above where it was last year. Last year, prices were below $3 for majority of this year. This year, we've been above $3 a gallon for majority of the year for the simple reason that the situation in Iran, between the U.S. and Iran, has blocked the flow of oil to the global market. It's not just been Iran, though. It's also been Ukraine and the increasing amount of attacks on Russian oil refineries, which has knocked a good portion of Russia's refining capacity offline. So it would be both of those. It wouldn't be fair to say it's just one or the other. Both of those together are pushing prices up. But as we get closer to cooler weather now, the seasonality to gasoline should return, and lower prices may be in our not-too-distant future. President Trump's administration did allow for the change back to cheaper winter gasoline about 2 weeks ahead of schedule. That can happen now September 1st. And with schools gradually reopening, demand goes down as Americans kind of get back to the grind. Summer vacations are over. One last hurrah with Labor Day, but gasoline demand typically continues to decline now going into the fall.
What's the difference between summer and winter gasoline?
Summer gasoline has to burn cleaner, especially in more populated areas. The difference is essentially something we call the Reed vapor pressure. It measures the evaporability of fuel when burned. Summer gasoline burns cleaner. It doesn't evaporate as easy, and that's what contributes to lower emissions during the summer. Winter gasoline, since ambient air temperatures are cooler, don't have to have quite as low a Reed vapor pressure number as summer gasoline. So there's a slight cost difference, especially in big cities that have to use even more stringent gasoline. But essentially, the difference between summer and winter gasoline is something that we call RVP, again, that Reed vapor pressure. Winter gasoline is as high as 15 pounds RVP. Summer gasoline, the default, is down to 9 pounds RVP.
So is it about performance, or is it about what comes out of the exhaust pipe?
It's all about the stability of gasoline, the volatility. You know, if you've ever left your lawnmower tank open, you'll know that gasoline evaporates very quickly. And all those emissions, all those vapors go into the atmosphere, and that is what contributes to low-level ozone. So the difference is all about emissions. And that's the primary difference, is how that fuel is burned. You know, does it contribute more ozone or less ozone? And keep in mind, again, you know, nobody sees ozone action days in the middle of winter, because it's the warm air that reacts with those emissions, those vapors, to create low-level ozone.
So people are going to text right now, and you may roll your eyes at me as well, Patrick, but I got a truck and I like it, and I use ethanol-free premium in it, okay? Because it's, I like to live large every now and then in my life. That's one of the few things I do to live large, is use ethanol-free premium. And it's like I paid, like, I think $4.80 a gallon the other day, but it seems like sometimes there can be variants of a dollar a gallon swing. I don't know how that happens, because the war in Iran is somewhat of a constant, right, now?
Well, and especially if you're using something like ethanol-free premium gasoline, that's more of a niche fuel. So not every retailer, as you know, has that fuel. So it might not be priced like regular gasoline, right? Stations may not be as competitive, knowing that they have a product that is not at every station. So you may be paying a little bit more, because there's not, you know, the popularity isn't quite there for 91 ethanol-free, although that's what boaters really like to use as well. So the cost difference between regular and premium, also, you're really paying more for those octane points, and that's the difference, right? You're either buying 91, maybe you have 93 premium octane, which is pretty rare, but those octane points are getting more and more expensive, because the U.S. is getting more and more flooded with not only lower quality, heavy, sour crude oil, which doesn't produce as much very light product like premium. But the components in premium gasoline, what we call alkylate, are very expensive. And in the last 20 years, there's a lot more vehicles that now require premium gasoline. And so that's the other difference, is that demand for premium has actually gone up because more manufacturers are requiring in their vehicles that you use premium.
You know these crystal decanters that people keep fine liquor in? That's what I keep my premium unleaded gasoline in.
Well, you know, the kind of a joke there, because, I mean, you know, premium gasoline, I mean, you talk about ethanol. Ethanol is an alcohol, so although you buy ethanol free, but, you know, it's kind of a running joke, too, is that ethanol is grain alcohol. It's corn alcohol. So the more of that in your gasoline, generally, the less energy. But it's very, very high octane. Ethanol is very high octane.
I want to talk about octane when we come back, because I grew up in a service station. My dad owned one. I still don't know what the hell octane is. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there in either direction. However, I-10 East, Kenner to downtown New Orleans, heavy congestion starts just beyond 310. That extends to about Veterans. Light congestion continues to the split. You'll see the brake lights again. Heavy congestion dragging into the city. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, a slowdown begins at Reed. Heavy through the Morrison Curve, easing at the high rise. You'll see the brake lights again if you're headed out to Metairie from 610 New Orleans East, starting at about Elysian Fields, very slow through the City Park area. Downtown elevated, barely moving from Elysian Fields to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown, heavy between Stumpf and the river. Light congestion continues into downtown. Huey P. Long on the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Legends Global. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
7:54, 6 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Patrick DeHaan, Chief of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy. Somebody texted in about the Strategic Oil Reserve, Patrick, and wondered how concerned should we be about the levels at the Strategic Oil Reserve?
I mean, that's a great question, and something that's coming up more and more often. It doesn't keep me up at night. It's mildly concerning. The U.S. Strategic Reserve is now, and you're going to keep hearing this, it keeps falling to new multi-decade lows. But all of those are going to be around the same time. It's falling to its lowest since 1983, maybe 1982 when it was being filled up. The SPR is not going to be drained fully. There has been one authorized release. Why it keeps draining week after week is because it takes a lot of weeks to release the amount of oil that the president authorized. That's 170 million barrels. The releases probably should wrap up here in the next, call it, 6 to 8 weeks. The U.S. Strategic Reserve, when the release is done, it will probably be somewhere north of 250 million barrels. It's at about 290 today. So we have got a little bit more oil to release. 250 million barrels, it doesn't leave the president and the administration with a lot of tools if something drastic escalates, but it's not something that keeps me up at night. It's worrisome, but the U.S. is also the world's largest oil producer. And like I said, a lot of people have the misconception that it's going to be just completely drained or it's going to, you know, releases are going to keep going until it's empty. That's also not true.
And why is he releasing it?
Well, much for the reason that President Biden released it in 2022, although the situations are quite different. The president authorized the release because, of course, the U.S. Attacking Iran boosted the price of oil significantly, and he authorized the release to try and put downward pressure on the price of oil.
But the oil that's in the strategic reserve is the kind that our refineries use or not?
Well, there's two different kinds that we hold. It's sweet and sour. And yes, we can refine it. Right now, the strategic reserve has slightly more than 66% sour heavy oil, and about a third of it is light sweet. But U.S. refineries can process both of those blends, and that's the beauty of having a reserve with both of those types, is that some refineries are going to prefer heavy, some of them are going to prefer light or sweet, and we have both types.
And how did it get into the reserve in the first place?
Say that one more time.
How did it get into the reserve in the first place? I don't mean pump.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, all this oil, back in the late 70s and 80s was bought from oil companies, and it's injected into saltwater caverns down in Louisiana and Texas. And that's where this oil is parked. So, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, we're taking a lot of shipments from very large crude carriers that were basically slowly filling up the reserve. I mean, it took better than half a decade to fill up.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm wondering is, if it was oil at that price, to replace it is going to be a lot more expensive?
Well, and that's the interesting part, is that the U.S. didn't structure the release as a sale. President Trump structured it as an exchange. So basically, to get this oil, it's not a traditional buy, you know, we'll sell it to you at this price. The president structured it so that oil companies will be giving us slightly more back than they received in the first place.
So who's borrowing it, the oil companies?
That's exactly it. And they're going to be paying a premium in the form of oil to pay back. That's the interest payment is not money. They're going to be filling up the reserve with more oil than they borrowed, essentially.
Okay, so take me to oil companies and record profits. They would not have these record profits were they not draining the oil reserve?
Well, no, they wouldn't have these record profits if there was, if we wouldn't attack Iran. So oil companies are massively profitable right now because of the situation that has been handed to them. Mm-hmm. Oil companies had no bearing in whether or not the U.S. was going to attack Iran. They had no bearing on whether or not Ukraine attacks Russian oil refineries, but they are beneficiaries of the situation. And they are very profitable because through the steps the administration has taken, they've essentially made oil more difficult to find. Essentially, we've cut off Iran from the global market. We've cut off Russia from the global market because of their war with Ukraine. And so oil is now slightly more difficult to get. And that is why prices are generally higher. Just like when your home price is going up, it's because there's less homes on the market or homes are harder to buy. And that's exactly why every homeowner in the U.S. has seen a big jump in the home value over the last 5 years, is because everyone like me is locked in, well, hopefully, with the low mortgage mm-hmm. rate. So none of us want to sell.
So the oil that's coming from the reserve is going to eventually have to be paid back, which will cut into their profits at some point?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to essentially give to the U.S. oil that's more valuable now, and they're going to have to give more of it back. So I wouldn't say that's going to eat into their profit. As an analyst, you know, it's going to impact them in a slightly negative way, but it probably will not curtail their profit.
Gotcha. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick Dehan, you bet, Chief of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy. We're going to take a break, talk to Walter Dublane when we come back about President Trump and his trade war with Canada. What's that going to do to our pocketbooks? And we'll talk with Rafael Goyeneche about the National Guard's mission in Louisiana coming and New Orleans coming to an end. A lot coming up.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.